Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mythic Quest Season 3. That's right. We're taking a little bit of a break from Community. We will be back to talk about the final season in 2023. But until then, we're podcasting every week about Mythic Quest, our favorite Apple TV Plus show. That's right. And you noticed I said we. That's because, like, with every Mythic Quest episode, I have my trusty co-host, Chels. Hi, Chels.
Jen, have you missed me?
I have a sabbatical. I have missed you. Thankfully, I have gotten to see you since we have last podcasted, as we talked about before recording.
In human form.
I'm really glad that you're back. Do we remember how to do this? That's the question.
No, my gray hair is fully taken over. I don't remember anything.
We are old. But you know what? I'm very excited that our Mythic Quest characters are back, and they're back with a 2-episode premiere. So that's what we're going to talk about, the episodes Across the Universe and Partners today. So you guys have sent in some questions, which is great. We're going to talk about some plot and some fun stuff and some sad stuff too that happened in the first 2 episodes. But before we do, let's just give you quick plot recaps of both episodes. Across the Universe really is just set up brilliantly as a where are they now for all of our characters, taking place 1 year after the events of TBD. So we get a chance to see what Ian and Poppy are up to with Grim Pop. We get a chance to see David chilling with Joe now at the helm of Mythic Quest, and Carol getting a promotion, and Naomi Akparagin getting a promotion to series regular in season 3. We love to see it. Woo! So we get a chance to see what they are up to. And then, of course, we have Rachel and Dana, who are kind of trying to figure out what their lives entail. And then Brad, who has gotten out of prison. So everyone comes together for what is assumed to be a welcome back party for CW, who has been on a European book tour. And at the end of the episode, we find out that's not the case. We'll talk about that. And then Partners really is set up as kind of a Ian struggling to figure out how to be a good partner to Poppy now that he is no longer the idea man. It's also kind of just an episode of everyone trying to figure out where they fit now if they are not at Mythic Quest headquarters. And they all end up back at Mythic Quest, much to the chagrin of the people who actually still work there, aka Carol, and the new testers. So that's kind of just basically the general plot of Partners, is learning how to be a good partner. And that is what you missed on Mythic Quest. I'm giving you quotes from both Across the Universe and Partners. So the quotes of the episode, the first two are from Across the Universe. The first one is from Poppy: "I can't believe I'm listening to a man who thinks he belongs on the same wall as Mother Teresa." And then this one, which is quite lovely and sad, which is, "Hold on to each other for as long as you can, because that's all there is." And then the next one is from Ian, where he says, "Carol, Poppy's acting like a cat." And it's just great. So that is what you missed on Mythic Quest. It has been 1 year in universe since the events of TBD. So let's just start off with the episode pacing. How do you think that Across the Universe did overall at reintroducing us to the characters in their new habitats?
It worked very well for me because we were spending like just the right amount of time with each group of characters.
Yeah.
But also the intro was very smart, like the pre-credit where they're just like cutting between all cutting. These people. I think it's very well edited.
Yeah.
And you just get the idea of what's going on. But truly the greatest moment was like getting Carol in there and having her torment David the way that she has been tormented by everybody. And, you know, cherry on top. So
I loved that. I did really love the intro because it kind of did harken back to kind of like the pilot where it was like setting up all of the different characters. So you got a chance to, we already knew who these people were, but we got reintroduced to who they are and where they are. I especially loved like Brad's introduction of like how amazing he's been apparently in prison and how sad they're going to be to lose him. I thought that was so funny. Also, I'm going to mention this now. Danny Pudi in this season, already very attractive. Loving the longer hair.
It's the
Danny
shaggy hair,
Pudi.
I tell
It's
you.
the shaggy hair. So that's neither here nor there. But I loved getting a chance to see, especially like David back at Mythic Quest. He's really thriving, from our perspective. I thought that they did a really good job because, again, one of the benefits of being on a streamer is that it was 30-ish minutes. But I still feel
Was
like
it?
they, yeah, the first episode was
Wow.
about
Didn't feel
30
like
minutes.
it.
But no, I know it felt really well paced. Like, we weren't like jumping. I didn't feel like we were jumping around stories, that we were losing anything. I feel like we were just kind of like setting everyone up to come back together at the very end, which was done really well. And it was even just like, even though Rachel and Dana didn't have like as much to do, like substance wise, their scenes were really funny. I think that that was like one of the funniest introductions is them in the car singing and getting interrupted by Joe calling them. So yeah, I thought it was really well, everyone's well reintroduced to us in this
It really
world.
felt like a nice homecoming
Yeah.
because you get to like we already know these characters, but we get to see how they're doing. It's like whenever
Yes.
we caught up a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Well, no time.
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to talk a lot about Ayan and Poppy throughout the rest of both of these episodes, really, because obviously they're pretty much the main characters. But let's talk about an unexpected pairing that we're going to probably see a whole lot more of, which is David and Carol. What did you think about their story? How excited are you that we get more of Carol this season? Thoughts overall?
I love it because it really does feel like Carol is in charge, and I like that she's shaking things up a bit because normally David is being tormented by mom and dad, Poppy and Ian, and now it's like he's being bossed around in many ways. Like he's trying to give her advice on how to just skate on by and this quote unquote promotion, and she's like, no. We're gonna back this up. We're gonna actually do stuff.
But I like that Carol is just like internally struggling with that. Like, she's just not as thrilled by the idea of like,
Doing
and that
nothing.
couch, that introduction scene of just like the parallel obviously being hilarious of how everyone would come into her office and lay on the couch and her be like, this is HR, not therapy. But like just her doing that and just internally being like, do I want to be okay with getting more money but not really having any job
They
or
backed up
like,
a truckload of money.
yeah,
She's been
exactly.
underpaid for so long.
Yes. So like there's an internal struggle though. And I think that that's nice to see because again, some of the characters in the show are just kind of like floating, or you know, we would assume like, you know, some people don't necessarily have as many ambitions as others, like Rachel. She was like, I want to be a tester, like I'm fine with this. And so we didn't really get a chance to see how Carol felt about being in HR. And so it's nice to see that like she doesn't just want necessarily a job. She wants to truly feel like she's doing something and she's making a difference, whilst also getting swept up in the chaos that's happening around her, which I think is going to be really fun. David's basically like, I'm just hoping to like basically do the bare minimum and hope no one notices. It was such a relatable moment though that I was like, oh, David, I
I
get
really
it.
feel that,
I feel
especially
that.
on today of all days. I was like, yes,
I
I'm
loved
going to do
the little
the bare
hokey
minimum.
pokey, Carol
That's what
being
it's all
like,
about.
that's what it's all about. I feel like their dynamic is really going to be fun this season now that we don't have Ian and Poppy working there, because
Even
like
though they're in the same building, apparently, somehow,
that
we're
was such
like,
a fun reveal of at the end of this episode of like they're just a floor down, but they haven't seen anyone in a year. Like they just have been avoiding them. I thought that it was, I was like,
I
oh.
was so confused for a second. I'm like, Wait a minute.
I thought it was just going to be like, I thought they were going to get into the elevator and they have all this like nice sentimental moment, and we'll talk about that. And I thought they were going to try and like undercut that with like Poppy and Ian just like rolling their eyes at the sentimentality. But then it was even better that they are just literally one or two floors below Mythic Quest and they just have not seen David in a year. And they're coming back to the office being like, wow, everything's so different. And it's like you work in the same building.
But also, to be fair, I don't think Poppy has showered in a year,
That's
so she probably
true.
hasn't left that chair.
That's
She needs
true.
to go to a
That's
dentist.
true. That's true. Yeah, I'm really interested to see kind of what these dynamics are going to be now that we've got at Mythic Quest. We've got Joe, Brad, Carol, and David to play around with dynamic wise. I feel like this is going to be really fun. I really like that Carol is getting swept up in antics, and now she's not like the straight man character like she was a little bit before, even though she had some hilarious lines and like, please sign here. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm really ready for more of Carol, more of Naomi. And next week's episode is written by Naomi, so we're very excited about that.
And I am manifesting more moments of Carol and Joe. I feel like we need to do that, especially
Yes.
whenever Carol called her Satan in the second episode.
I love it. I love it. We'll talk about Joe and how much we miss Joe. Our lovely friend Charles has asked this question, and I didn't know where else to put it, so I thought I would put it here. Which Ian do you like better, goatee or no goatee? Now, if you will recall, Mythic Quest fans, we've got 3 seasons of all different Ian facial hair. So we've got beard, goatee, clean shaven. Chelsea, you have a comment already in here. You have opinions.
The only time I've ever like tried to contribute to a doc for Mythic
I saw you
Quest.
edited this document before we started recording, and I was so confused as to like Chels actually put a comment in here, and you
Just so I
did.
wouldn't forget.
All right,
Okay.
Chels.
There is a rule of life, and it
Yes.
should be a rule that every guy looks better with like a beard or facial hair and stuff. This is not true of Ian. He looks better
Yeah.
shaven. We have
I was gonna
seen
say
the photos of
that
Andrew Garfield in the
too.
sand with his
Oof.
beard. You
Hello.
know, that changed all of our lives when
It
Jen
really
dropped that in the
did.
group chat this
It
morning. You
really
know,
did. It really
shots were
did.
fired. How does he look so much better with no facial hair? This is like against the rule.
I was
How?
gonna say
The
the
goatee
same
is like the
thing.
worst.
No, exactly.
Absolutely not.
Goatee is
No,
for
no.
sure the worst. I was gonna say the same thing. I am generally such a fan of beards, and for some reason, I feel like
It throws off the
the
structure
opposite.
of his face.
Yes, it's the opposite. Like clean shaven Ian just looks better than beard Ian, because we see it in the wall photo. And I was like, I feel like he just looks so much like older, but like not in necessarily in a good. It's too bushy. I feel like maybe that's it. I don't know.
The
It's
shape of it's very off.
so Charles, clean shaven
Clean
Ian.
shaven.
Is what we're going with.
And
Really a fan
we
of it.
won't normally say that, y'all.
That's not a thing I normally
Go look at those
prefer.
Andrew Garfield photos.
Please enjoy. Please enjoy. Have your day ruined like mine was ruined. Let's get back to Ian and Poppy. What did you think about the way that the premiere saw her being the leader, the decision maker, and the person who needs to learn how to trust her gut? I really liked that scene where she tells Ian, I'm the decider, essentially. And yes, that is a New Girl reference. And that he let her be the decider, sort of. I mean, kind of in
It's
that moment.
tough.
Yeah.
Jen, could you say no to $60 million?
Well, she said no to $50 million,
50,
but
yeah.
then she said no to 60. No, but I also kind of get where Poppy comes from in this episode, right? Like, especially if you think about Poppy being someone who was never the decision maker. I also struggle with like thinking about, because I have anxiety and I talked to my counselor about this. One of the tenets of anxiety is wondering what if, like, what if this something terrible happens? Like, what if I get this horrible disease? what if I made the wrong decision is such a hallmark of anxiety that for me, I would be like, oh my gosh, but like, what if I take 50 million and the next person offers like 100? Like, and Poppy's never been in this position before. Like, if we think about it, she's never had to be the one making these calls. So that's even more nerve-wracking, is like, I want to be the one making these calls, but now I have to make these calls. And I don't know how to make these calls. And Ian's whole like advice isn't helpful for Poppy, who's very like more analytical, less big picture. And Ian's just basically like, trust your gut, which isn't really great advice for someone who's never had to do this before. Like, it's true advice. He's not wrong. And I loved that little moment where they're walking down and talking about the wall and him being like, you deserve to be, my gut says you deserve to be up on this wall. What is your say? Because I thought that was a very genuine, very nice moment. Like, but Ian is a man and he like can be afforded the luxury of doing that, whereas Poppy isn't.
Yeah, men don't think twice about their actions. Like, they
Right.
don't
But
ever
you,
have to question themselves in that regard.
that's
Like,
also a good point, because you've made this point, I think, even today about like, or yesterday about like, men don't question whether or not they're good enough or their stuff is good enough. They just do it. They put out, they write a piece, they like put out a podcast, they put out a video, and they don't think twice. Whereas women, we're constantly overthinking, or, like this idea of like, am I good enough? Is this good enough? Maybe it's not. Should I post it? Should I not post it? Should I say it? Should I not start this project? Like, and so that's Poppy's experience in this episode. And I don't know. I really enjoyed seeing that though. I
Wow,
thought
I
that that was,
literally did say that yesterday, didn't
you
I?
did. But it made me think
Completely
like,
different context.
but it made me think that that's so true. Like, Ian just knows. Like, and this is part of his personality, but it's also part of him having been a leader for so long that like he kind of is in the groove. It's almost like when you do a job, or when you have this skill, you don't quite know how to explain it to someone. And so like it's funny to watch him try and explain to Poppy in this episode about
Yeah.
what it means to trust your gut. I really liked seeing Poppy in this episode because I thought it was a really great way to set up how their dynamic was going to be moving forward. Any additional thoughts on Poppy and her gut, her poor gut?
Her poor gut, like her in that bathroom, I feel very bad.
Could you turn down $50 million, Chels?
Oh, hell no. I'm fine. If I only needed 25 and I was offered 50, I'd be like, sure, girl, let's go.
Let's go. More money.
Imagine what I could do with twice as much as I wanted.
That's true. That's true. So it was really funny because I watched that hallway scene of Ian talking about, how he was right yesterday and today he's right. He realized he was wrong yesterday, but now he's right today. And I was like, why does this sound so familiar? I've heard this before. And spoiler alert, friends, if you go back and listen to our Please Sign Here episode, you will see that Megan Gans teased this out for us, because she said this is actually how Rob works. And she said, we're gonna throw in a joke in the next season where basically he talks about this as Ian. I loved it. What did you think about that scene? I thought it was hilarious now looking back on it and listening to our conversation about it.
I
Because
cackled because I
it was
also
great.
like had the moment, like I forgot Megan told us this, but as it was being said in the show, I'm like, why does this sound so familiar?
It's like
It's
deja vu,
eating.
like I've heard this before somewhere.
But also it goes back to the idea of just trusting your gut, like, and how men will just justify what their gut is and being right. It's like even if they are wrong, they're right. That's what they think. And it just made me cackle because we complain about it all day, every day.
But it's so, when Megan was talking about it in the episode, she said, like, that's Rob's superpowers, being able to like look at life that way and decision making that way, whereas like she doesn't and can't. And I was like, that's so true. Like, it's just something that I look at and I'm like, oh, I'm wrong. I must be terrible at my job. I must not like the imposter syndrome kicks up 1,000 degrees.
Exactly. But whenever you're presented with new information, then you can be either more right or more wrong. You can
You know,
see how you're going.
we've always talked about that. You know, when you're presented with new information, you can change your mind. And it's not like, you know, that does kind of go back to that. Like, yeah, you know, the Ian scene of like, look, I can justify that like I was right yesterday. I fully believed that I was right. Today I realized yesterday I was wrong, and so today I'm right. Like the logic is so silly to Poppy and to us, but at the same time, it does allow for that ability for Ian to just say, I'm gonna trust my gut and not doubt myself and just say, I was right then because that's the information I had then. And now I'm right because I realized I was wrong and I have new information.
So, women, don't doubt yourselves.
Yeah, that's the moral of like this. Although it is hilarious on the rooftop of mine being like, you turned down $60 million. No, your gut sucks. But also it's because she's learned. That's the thing. Like you have to learn, you know, because he does say if your gut's right 51% of the time, that's a great gut. And it's true. You also, again, you have to learn how to trust your gut. It's not something for women that comes naturally because we're told to doubt ourselves and question that we're good enough and that we're talented enough or whatever. So just like trust that. And that's what he's trying to really, because he trusts her, you know, like, and he believes that she deserves to be in charge and she deserves to have a life and career where she can trust her gut. It's just something that she has to learn rather than him just like not questioning it and just like rolling through life. It's just so funny. It's just so
It
funny to
is.
watch the dynamic and the way that those two things are so different. Switching gears for just a brief moment. Did you miss Joe? Of course you did. I'm not even going to let you answer that.
I love Jo so much. She
Love
is my little
Jesse.
demon.
Jesse
She's
Ennis.
wonderful. She's
God
perfect.
bless. God bless Jessie. What did you think about the way her story is being set up with Brad's return? And what do you think she said to the cop on the phone?
I need answers. I need to know
Jessie,
what Illuminati shit she's got.
Jessie, please inform us what
We
you
know
think.
she's a little conservative baby, so I wonder what she
True.
did. What did she bribe that cop with? What did
He
she
seemed
do?
very like resigned. He didn't seem like skeptic. Like that's the thing. I'm just like, I'm curious
What
to
did
know.
she threaten him with?
That's what I want to know because Joe could be threatening. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen this season. What are your thoughts on how Joe's being set up now that Brad's back in the picture?
That's the thing, because Brad took the fall for Joe. So, what kind of psychological mind games are they up to?
It's
Because it
true.
seems like an enemies dynamic still.
I
So,
know.
we like Joe, she still loves the power. We saw that in the second episode whenever she was bullying the new testers. But
Oh.
what is she getting? What's going to happen with Brad? I want to
Yeah.
know. I need
Yeah.
answers. I'm not even going to try to predict it because the last time I predicted something on this show, I texted you and I was right. And I don't want
You
to.
have power. I don't think everyone knows this,
To
but
be
Chelsea
fair,
has
that was
power.
like context clues.
That's true. That is true. I'm interested because to the point of something that I saw on the internet, you know, Brad didn't do anything wrong. Like Brad took the fall for Joe. So he was in prison because he wanted cred and just because he actually liked Joe. And so he never did anything wrong. So it's interesting to see kind of what their dynamic is. I thought it was really funny because I almost feel like in the moment where Joe senses that Brad's back, like it's almost like she smells him. Did you get like I don't know what she like
Yes.
Jessie did. It's like she caught a whiff of Brad before she like turned around and saw him.
It was her spidey sense.
Yes, and of course we've got like season one Joe back with her hair down, her little clip. She's like very reformed and
I love seeing her little clip. And
I
her hair,
know,
the
it's
little
very
blue clip.
cute. So I don't know, and we're going to talk about this later in a little bit with Brad too. I don't know where Joe's story is going because it's almost like Brad's kind of being set up, at least in the first two episodes, as like this temptation of like her former life, but also Brad's saying that he's reformed and Joe's saying she's reformed. So will they be two reformed people sharing the same space? Will they?
But we know they both want that power.
I know, but now they're
It's
both
too tempting.
powerless. So
Exactly.
it's kind of going to be interesting to see what happens there. We'll talk about the scene. Matt from Communities asked, did you see that coming in the first episode? He means the ending of the first episode.
Jen,
Chels,
what
did
did I
you?
text you whenever you said the episodes dropped or whatever?
Chels texted me, let me find it so that I can do it justice for verbatim. Oh, interesting. Does CW die?
First thing I asked.
I had a feeling they'd kill him off and time jump. Season two always felt like a nice end to his story anyways. And
Nailed it.
you're right. Nailed it. I always knew that they were going to go that route because there's no real other route to go that would make sense, in my opinion. I mean, if a character is younger, maybe, but if a character is, like you said, season two had a really nice arc. There was catharsis there. So I feel like that was kind of the perfect opportunity.
And now he could go film The White Lotus and be on a resort.
Yep, exactly. So here's what I, again, it's like CW, even with season two and getting some backstory, season two, what it, you know, gave us more backstory and insight into CW's character. He was still never my favorite character. I think what I really loved is in this episode, in the very end of this episode, the premiere, seeing how CW's words affected everyone. Because for the last time, they actually came from him. They were not something that was stolen, though his death, of course, Carol's little
Thelma
Thelma
Louise.
Louise, just, that was stolen. Obviously, the premiere brings the whole group back together under the guise of party for CW, who's returning from Europe.
He's
We
also just petty
learn,
and manipulative to have Joe tracking all of this
I
and doing all
know.
of this.
I know there was only a slight little plot hiccup where I was like, would he know how to have an app? This is the person who couldn't work Zoom. It's fine. I'm just going to breeze past this because she's like, he downloaded it. He sent me an app and everything.
Somebody helped him.
We
He
learned that,
probably paid Shelley Hennig, the former Stephanie Johnson from Days of Our Lives. They've recently recast. He probably paid her to do it. That's
I believe that.
my theory.
I believe that.
Because also, rest in peace, because his co-star in that episode passed away, remember?
Oh, yes, that's right. So they're actually gathered because CW has died and he basically like has David read this letter. Before we get into the emotional stuff, I have to say one of my favorite scenes in the entire episode is the rooftop scene for two reasons. One, the emotional part of it, but two, that scene where everyone's trying to figure out what's in the letter and they're asking David is how I watch movies with my mom, where she's like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know. Watch the movie. I'm watching it in real time like you are. And I thought it was hilarious that they're like, what do you mean, David? I don't know. I'm reading this as like,
Jen, I'm
I'm
glad
just
you brought
figuring
that
it out.
up because that is how I am with everything I watch with
It's
people.
so
They ask me
great.
what's going on, and it's like, I
I'm
haven't
figuring
seen this.
out. I'm watching it at the exact same time you are. Let's watch it. Like, David, let's read it together.
Like,
I'm
let's
just
get on
like,
Wikipedia and
I
both read this.
thought it was so funny. So funny. And Hornsby just does a great job of that scene
Being
just being
stressed.
like being so stressed. Like, I don't know. Wait and see. But in addition to it being hilarious for that reason, I really loved this rooftop scene. I feel like this is just such a quintessential like mythic quest. Does a great job bringing people back. It's silly, it's fun. And then on the rooftop, we're all crying. or at least I was, both times I watched it, because it just, like that quote, it just punched me in the feels. And the reaction shots of everyone were so great. Like, they were super subdued, but also that's exactly how they needed to be. Like, no one's going to be overtly weeping for CW. They're just going to be in equal parts shock and surprise and like touched by the message of what's happening. And I thought that that was really beautiful. I think everyone did such a great job, especially when they chose to like focus on, oh, and you know, didn't mention this, but Rob directed both of these episodes. So I really enjoyed the close-ups too of everyone's faces processing, especially Brad. I thought that that was just great Danny acting, because Brad is someone who is really tricky. Like, we've never seen him. That's not true. We have seen him emotional. We've not really seen him deal with like grief and loss at this point. And I thought it was really, I don't know. It was beautiful. I thought it was perfect. Like,
it was very well done. And then they brought us back with a good laugh whenever they're in the office drinking CW's drink of coffee and cough syrup.
That was so great to have that little like moment of everyone together and just like laughing and being silly. And that's maybe one of my favorite parts of ensemble sitcoms, is just having those little moments that are like the quieter group moments where they're just sitting around. And we've talked about this before. Sometimes the moments of them just sitting around the study table in Community, or sitting in the loft in New Girl, or like sitting around the motel in Schitt's Creek. Like, it's those things that remind you of how real and tangible these characters are.
But also, we did forget to mention maybe the other funniest joke of the episode is whenever Poppy and Ian were introducing themselves to Rachel.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot that that is literally one of the best.
And then they're like, hi, oh, Dana. Hey,
Dana. Dana. I'll never get over. Hi, I'm Ian Grimm. I know. I will never get over that, about like, because we've talked about that. And they talked about how excited everyone is to see Dana in season one, and it's just carried over. A perfect, perfect moment.
So funny.
And then, as we alluded to, everyone heads off, and Ian and Poppy head down a floor or two to Grimpop, because apparently that's where they work. So that's basically Across the Universe. Any thoughts before we move on to Partners?
No, I just can't wait to rewatch it and quote every Carol line, because I identify as a Carol. I am a Carol son. We're gonna have to get like
we're gonna have to get like stars. Yeah, astrology charts, Mythic Quest character style.
Am I a Joe Moon?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you're a Dana Moon. Or no, you're a Dana Sun.
I'm a Dana Sun. Yeah, that's what I feel. I do love the moment of, I think you switch from first person to third person too often. great little moments. All right, so Partners is really fun because it focuses a lot on the new Ian Poppy dynamic. I gotta say, like, I've talked about this before, I love me some Poppy. She's a chaotic little
she's a demon
genius. She's a demon, but she's just a chaotic little demon who's a boss. And this is really funny because it's real fun to see Rob play Ian with just as much like ego, but shifted, because he's now working with someone instead of dictating what to do. So this episode, I don't know, I found Rob so funny in this episode with just trying to understand what a buffalo chicken pizza is from a gas station. Coming to the realization, as I came to, that Poppy wanted sandwiches from the freezer and then they would be ice cream sandwiches. I don't know why I didn't think about that, because that is a thing from season one that she gets very upset about, because Rachel and Dana eat all of them.
I called it whenever they
you did.
Said like sandwiches in the fridge or freezer. I'm like, it's gonna be ice cream, isn't it? Was I also craving ice cream? Maybe.
I mean, perhaps. I don't know. What do you think about the new Ian Poppy dynamic now that Ian isn't the big idea guy anymore?
What I find really funny is it's not that he's not a big idea guy anymore. It's that Poppy
Well,
won't let him be because he does
yeah.
have ideas and whatever metaverse is, nobody tell me. I don't want to
I
know.
don't know. Please don't explain any
No, no,
to
no, no.
either of us what the metaverse is. Don't
We're
explain
too
it.
pretty to fret about that.
NFTs, the
No,
metaverse,
I just know
don't
they're
explain
bad for
any
the
of it.
environment.
Okay, cool. Now that we got that out of the way,
I
no
love
one
that.
jump in our comments.
I just love that it's Poppy shutting him down at every turn and that Poppy does need help, but whenever she is presented with a person to help her, she refuses. So
Yeah,
it's like
right?
Poppy needing to learn how to be a leader, but also learning, always needing to learn how to work with others because she's so bad at
Yeah,
it.
she does not play well with others.
No, no, no.
She just wants to every she wants a group of people to boss around and think that she's a god. Is that too much to ask for? That's true. I guess it's not that Ian isn't even the big idea any guy anymore, because she mentions in this episode, like, you did have a lot of great ideas and big ideas, and I'm trying to put them in the game. And if you'll let me put them in the game, then we can, you know. So it's like Ian was very helpful to her over the last year as they were coming up with Hera and developing it. But now it's time for her to actually implement the ideas. And this is where Ian kind of is just like not cool with like helping and doing menial tasks. He just wants something big and special and fun to do. And really, what Poppy needs, Poppy does need for sure to like learn how to, for instance, mentor and help Dana become a better version of herself, and better worker. Although I'm interested because I think that we're going to see Ian do a lot more of that this season based on that last scene. But also, Ian does need to learn, like, your partner wants lunch. Like, that's just her request. It might seem super dumb, but like, that's something you could help her do and help feed her. And Ian's just like, but I can improve it. And that's where Ian's problem comes in, because his big idea is like, but I can make it better. And instead of actually doing what Poppy needs him to do, he's like, but I have a big idea that's better than that. I did think it was hilarious that he's like the just the like physical comedy of Rob doing, I'm seeing sandwiches. Imagining sandwiches. I was just like, okay, does he need to do that to just fulfill a request to go
He
upstairs and get
needs to
sandwiches? He needs to
visualize.
visualize it.
He
Okay.
needs to visualize the task.
I don't know. I just think it's so funny to see this whole new dynamic playing out. I'm just very interested to see where it's going, because in a lot of ways, they're still obviously clashing, as we see later in the scene in which he yells that very funny quote of Poppy's acting like a cat. But also it's kind of like he's trying to humble himself, but he's failing at it. Like, he's trying to be a good partner, but he's not. But also, Poppy isn't being a good partner either,
No, they're
or a
both
good
being
leader.
themselves. And that's
Yeah,
the thing. It's like, I
we
feel like
love them.
Ian's probably going to be really good at mentoring Dana in some
Yes.
weird, probably crazy way. But like, Dana really should just be working with Poppy and doing the nuts and the bolts of like
Yeah.
creating all the coding and the foundation of the game and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's the thing. It's like she actually needs to be with Poppy because that's the skill that she needs to have. But I have a feeling that like Ian's gonna like hook her into being a big idea person, and that's going to be problematic and going to cause more friction. But Dana's just desperate to learn from someone,
She just wants to
anyone.
do it. She just
She
wants
just wants
to.
to do her job. Let Dana do her
It's
job.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. I can't. So apparently, yes, Poppy also hasn't washed her hair, which I also think is funny because this is a callback so many times, especially in quarantine episode and everything like that. Well, speaking of Dana, Rachel, this episode gives us a little glimpse into the fact that all might not be well in Rachel's Berkeley world. What did you think about her and Dana wanting to return to their old stomping grounds?
It's not surprising because, like, I don't know if you experienced this, but I lived in a small town and everybody likes to go back to their old high school
Yes.
or
Yeah.
like whenever I go back to my old college, because sometimes I still help them with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like so comforting and fun and nice, and you just want to be
Yes.
there the whole time when you're there.
Yep.
But it's like, oh, you really can't be there like all the time. It's just like
Nope.
this one special thing. And it is probably very scary for Rachel to be in a program where she actually has to work and apply herself and like commit to different things, because we've seen Rachel be aimless for 2 seasons. And now that she has a focus, she's actually being challenged in some
Yeah.
way. And so
Yeah.
I'm wondering what's going on there with her, if she's actually going to go and be more of a writer, creative. Like I'm curious to see where Rachel goes, because she seems
Yeah.
like the person so far that we don't have a handle on yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because she was like, to your point, she was very aimless, and then she found this thing that she's passionate about, and now we're not sure at this point in this episode if she's good at it, if she's bad at it, if she's just like wanting to return to the familiarity, and that's why she's, in LA so much and not at Berkeley. And we don't know how she's doing in her classes, but it's kind of like, to your point, it's like you wanting to go home, and it's the classic kind of like avoidant of like, I don't want to like deal with the thing that I have to deal with that's waiting for me at Berkeley. Like either the classes being hard, or like it not being what she wants, or just being having to deal with being away from Dana and familiarity. Like that might be the thing that she's just avoiding, like having a hard time with. We don't really know that much yet, and I'm hopeful that we'll get a chance to know more. But yeah, I mean, I lived in that kind of world too, to your point of like, when people graduated, everyone would come back for like the first year. And then you would see very slowly after that, less and less people would, because you have to realize that like there needs to be that separation, or else you will never actually move on. You're not gonna like be able to separate unless you make an attempt to have your own life and say, this was a great chapter and now it's closed. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, like to your point, Rachel's kind of the one that's still a wild card, in a way that like, unlike we're thinking, we don't know what's going to happen with Brad and Joe. We know who they are, at least at their core. Whereas Rachel, I'm still not sure like what's her motivation, what's she really passionate about besides Dana. Like,
And does Rachel really know?
that is a good
I'm asking
question.
all the deep questions.
We're asking all the deep questions today. Speaking of asking all the deep questions, Justine asked, what do you think Brad's end game is? Is he truly a reformed man, or is he plotting to unleash more chaos? Because this episode, David tasks Joe with basically following Brad around to see if he's doing anything. The diffuser looked really fun. I gotta say that. I was like thinking, like, I want a diffuser that has a vanilla bean in it. It's $68 though, so probably not.
You can just buy your own vanilla bean and toss it in a candle. You're all good. Don't worry.
I know. So, I don't know.
I think it's chaos, and it's pr I don't know if he has a plan yet, but he's probably just trying to like have some fun messing with people.
I mean, he does have a lot of fun in this episode. Like, basically, this episode is him messing with people. I would have said, I feel like he's just trying to be reformed, but like not fully reformed. Like, he's not gonna be the kind of person who goes as far as Zach does and, does
Also, we
like.
have to remember Brad technically didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly. Like, he was
What's he
just,
reformed from?
being chaotic, I guess.
No. He's
But
always
here's
gonna
the
be
thing.
that.
He's
He got
always going
his
to be
street
chaotic.
cred. Got street cred now.
Reformed from asking for hair from people, as like, wasn't that part of the thing? Like, he wanted like a lock of hair. I feel like that moment, that conversation he has with David in this episode proves that he's ready for some chaos. I think he's just like, you'll never know, like, if anything's wrong, like, and that he's the janitor, that he's there to clean up messes, and so if something's wrong, you'll never know. I think that that's partially him just doing that to mess with David to make him think that he's up to something nefarious. I also just think that Brad consistently does like to stir the pot. He just likes to watch the chaos unfold around him. I don't know. I think that that's.
Enjoying the ride so far. It's nice
I
to be able to
know.
watch a show and not really know what's going on. It's so nice.
That's fair. So there's that. Speaking of chaos, there's that scene, of course, where first of all, Rachel and Dana sneak back up. They've discovered there's new testers. Everyone is just really, really tormenting these new testers, who then, of course, complain to Carol, anonymously,
Do you
though,
think
Carol.
Carol is still HR, or do you think
She
she's just the diversity person?
has to be, because they must have filed some sort of complaint with them, right? And that's what she knows that. So I would assume she has to. Who
So she's
else is
doing
there
two
in HR?
jobs?
I mean, let's be real. Isn't that the corporate world in a nutshell?
It is.
You're also the head of HR, as well as diversity and inclusion.
What makes
You're
me
both.
giggle the most is Joe just finding these guys at the bottom, the lowest rung, and just torturing them. And you can like quickly pick up that there is like a Dana Rachel dynamic between them, and that
Yeah.
one is the quote unquote woke one,
Yeah.
and one is the more fun one.
I loved
And
the
like Joe
callback
just
to that scene.
breathing it in, the
Joe's
power that he
just
has
like,
over them. That was maybe the best scene of the two episodes for me.
honestly, it was really fun to watch Joe walk around just so deviously, like, excited about her little bit of power that she got from
I love
David.
her so much.
We love her. I think my favorite, one of my favorite moments is the callback to the pilot where Carol's like, it's like, we never had meetings like this when I was here. Carol's like, we had this exact meeting. And of course they did have that exact meeting.
Exact meeting.
Minus the part where Poppy storms out. I did think it was a hilariously subtle, underrated delivery from Danny Pudi of being like, she smelled them, the sandwiches. Like, I tried to hide them on my car, but she smelled them. I was like,
That I believe.
the image of like her like being like, I smell it, and grabs it, and she's
Like,
like,
as she is licking her whole
Charlotte,
arm and
physical
hand.
comedy. I can't.
And the
It's
fact that it
perfect.
went on so long,
I
like her
know.
arm was like covered in melted ice cream, and then
Yes.
she, by the end of it, she had it licked clean.
Yes,
I
God
was so
bless.
concerned.
That whole scene was hilarious because, again, it's just like, it's so chaotic. Oh, and I forgot the little moment where Ian accosts someone who works there, being like, "What's your dream?" And she's like,
Dogs.
"Dogs." I related to that so hard.
It's like
And
I've
him just
never been
being.
more seen.
I love just watching slowly Ian just like deflate with caught, like just be so upset about the way that the conversation was going. I really do think that out of everyone, Ian was my favorite in Partners, just watching
It's
those
so
moments.
tough.
So
So many
great.
good moments.
So
Just
great.
Carol going off on all of them,
I know
including
that
the new
too. The two
testers.
testers. It's so great. It's so great. I love this show. So basically Partners ends with Dana taking a trip down to Grim Pop, and I guess her and Ian
Something about
bonding over
metaverse
the
and
metaverse and stuff
technology.
and VR,
Is there
and
like a
yeah.
G2 in there? I thought I heard. I had my
I heard.
subtitles on, so I don't know.
I did too. I was like, good, I don't know what these words mean.
Like, I know what a buffalo chicken pizza is. Ian knows what the metaverse is.
Go get me a buffalo chicken pizza from the gas station on the corner. I understood none of those words. None of those words made
They
sense.
all made sense to me.
They did. Is the chicken on the pizza? Oh gosh. So I mean, that was a nice little end to that episode, giving us some sort of tease as to what might be in store. I would love to see some more Ian and Dana. I think it would be really fun. And I'm pretty sure that's what we'll get the rest of the season, is a little bit more
Yay.
of those characters. Charles asked, which supporting character do you want to see more of as the season goes on? He asked like if what like what you would want to see a whole episode about too, like a person you would want to see. Obviously, we did not mention our beloved, who is not in this episode or the second episode. Sue
Oh, that was
Harkonnen.
going to be one of my answers.
I would love to see a whole episode about her.
I want to know what she's doing. Is she okay? Is she still in a dungeon?
She has a key card now, remember?
Does she, though? Does it still
As
work?
of, that's true, but like as of a deleted scene, because that's what
Yeah.
Megan said was like the please sign here. She technically in the universe, even though it was a deleted scene, has a key card, so
She
she can go up
does.
and anytime she wants.
If we're doing like a standalone character episode, my top two votes are Carol and Joe. Like,
Okay.
I want to know what's going on there.
I think I would like one about Sue. And then also just because I think it would be really fun. I don't know if Humphrey's coming back as Tall Paul, but I think an episode about Tall Paul would be
He
really fun.
has to come back. He's
I
a
know
writer on the show.
he's writing an episode this season, but I don't know if he's gonna be back as Tall Paul.
We need
So that
answers,
would be fun.
Megan.
Sue and Tall Paul. That would be a real fun
That'd
episode,
be
wouldn't it?
so
Just a standalone with that.
fun.
That would be so silly. I think we've talked about that before. Like that
I
would just
think
be a really fun.
we for sure have.
Oh my gosh. That would be fun. That's my answer. I think that would be a
Bless.
fun episode. Do you have anything else that you would like to add before we wrap things up?
Just that I had a nice time, and it's so great to have one of my top shows back. It's been way too
Same.
long.
Same. I know. I feel like we've rewatched the show consistently enough over the last couple of years to do podcasting about it, but
Exactly. It's one of those, I don't actually remember when season two dropped. I just remember covering it.
yes.
Because that was like over a year ago. Right? Is it? I genuinely don't know. When did season?
2021? So, I mean, we're in 2022. So, yes, in
We're at the
2021.
end of 2022.
Shh,
Time.
what is time? Yeah, I'm really happy that the show is back. I think that honestly, everyone should be watching the show. It's so delightful of fun, so well written, very
Shout
well
out to
acted,
Apple for
directed.
just renewing all their shows. It's like the
No.
opposite of Netflix.
Yeah, right?
Apple's
Shout out
like,
to
we're gonna
Apple.
curate all of our shows.
Also, shout out to Apple for the commercial that, if you all have not seen it, we have retweeted it, that David Hornsby, Charlotte McDowell, and Rob McElhenney did, where David is doing a promo for Ted Lasso, and obviously the in joke being that everyone goes to Apple TV for Ted Lasso, and they're like, "Do a promo for Mythic Quest. Like, why are you promoting the other show?" It's really funny. It's delightful. So please check that out. I'm really hopeful that Apple will do more marketing like that of like,
I hope so.
we know you're here for Ted Lasso, but also, and I've talked about this, there's a ton of great content on Apple TV
There's so
Plus.
many. Go check out the article you just did about your 22 top shows of the year. And like,
There's
I'd
so
say
many.
probably like a third of those
There's like
shows are Apple
six,
shows. Yeah.
six from Apple TV Plus
Wow,
that are
there's a
just
third. Me and Matt.
consistently. They're just consistently good.
There
And
could have
Mythic
been
Quest is
seven,
one
but
of
you
them.
haven't watched the Snoopy show yet.
That's true. That's true. There
Very
could have been
good. It's
seven.
very good.
So yeah, we're really happy. Like we said, we are going to be podcasting every single week. We've committed to doing this. Chels is in for this ride.
Can't
You
back
can't
out
back out
now.
now. Yeah, so we're gonna have some guests back. We're gonna have some friends. We're gonna talk about the show every week as it new episode comes out. So please stay tuned. And then obviously in the new year, we're going to hit the end of Community. And then Chelsea and I are gonna have some fun with this podcast. And I think I've already teased it, but Chelsea's maybe doing some podcasting.
I maybe definitely am. I've just had to wrap a few other projects, but I will be back in the podcast game soon.
Yeah, once this becomes a general rewatch podcast,
Get ready.
you'll see, you won't see us. I mean, you'll hear us. You'll hear our lovely voices, as we cover shows separately and together.
Yeah.
So it's going to become a nice little mix of all kinds of fun hosts, co-hosts, and people. So
Yeah.
stay tuned for that. Chelsea, of course, as always, our second to last question is, what is a piece of media, either a book, a TV show, a film, a podcast, etc., from either a Black or Indigenous or person of color creator and/or featuring either Black or Indigenous or person of color folks that you would like to encourage our listeners to consume this week?
So this is not a new recommendation from either of us. But the one thing I do all the time is just rewatch episodes of Abbott Elementary as I am waiting for new episodes of Abbott Elementary.
God bless.
You know, when a show is just like right out of the gate perfect and has just not only been consistent, but just keeps getting better and better and better. Like, Abbott is giving me everything I want. They gave us the best Storm X-Men like rendition in their Halloween
So
episode.
good.
It is so funny and
It's
just
so
like
funny.
I don't have words. I'm just it's ha it makes me
It's
so
such
happy. Leslie Odom Jr. is on the
Leslie
show
Odom
now.
Jr. Ah, bless. It was so
Oh,
good. It's so good.
so good.
It's
So
so
Abbott
good.
Elementary always.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. So I, thanks to Chelsea being very lovely and sharing, because I don't have all streaming services, I watched this movie a couple months ago, a month ago, on Paramount Plus, which I had read the book of, On the Come Up, which you all should watch if you have Paramount Plus. If you don't have Paramount Plus, you can read the book that was by Angie Thomas. So it's about a 16-year-old Brie, who is an up-and-coming rap star. And so it's just really, really good. I read the book, like I said, so I knew the storyline going in. It has an incredible cast. It's super well directed. It's just like one of those ones where I feel like it's a very faithful book to film adaptation as well. And for those of you who also read The Hate U Give, it's not a crossover, but it takes place in the same universe as of Garden Heights as that book did.
We love that.
So watch On the Come Up on Paramount Plus, if you have Paramount Plus. If you don't
I
have
am
Paramount Plus,
learning that Paramount
read the
Plus
book.
has more things than just Drag Race.
That is true.
Allegedly, allegedly.
Allegedly, it has more content. So you should definitely check that out. So do that. All right, Chels, this is going to be very exciting for us to podcast, but if people want to find and follow you in the meantime, tell people where they can do that. What do you want to promote?
I mean, I am going down with the ship that is Twitter. I am
Same.
Chels725 there. I've worked in education. I'm fine staying on places that are always on fire. It's fine.
Mean,
I'm still having a
honestly.
nice time. You can follow me there, Chels725. I'm the same on Letterboxd. Don't find me on Instagram. I don't use that shit.
You do, but
I
only
only use the close
for
friends feature.
yes, I was gonna say, but only for dog content. Which is how Instagram should be used. Okay. Yeah, I mean, same. You can follow us on Twitter at COM Memory Watch Pod. It's like the Titanic. We'll just
I'm
keep.
here. I'm here
We're
making friends on
listening.
the
We're listening.
Titanic as
We're
it's
making
sinking.
friends. We're drinking. We're listening to the band play. So, here we are. Find us there. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're at Community Rewatch over there. Always check out our pinned tweet. Always our pinned tweet. Donate if you can to the Love and Therapy Fund for Black women and girls, because access to mental health resources is very important. And what's cool about the Lovin' Foundation is that they pair their Black clients with Black therapists, and that really matters. So check that out. Like I said, you will hear us in your feed every week as we talk about Mythic Quest Season 3. So stay tuned for all of that fun stuff. And finally, since now this has become, for me, a Mythic Quest rewatch podcast, because I watch these episodes twice to prepare. What's something you're currently rewatching? What do you like rewatching these days, Chels?
I can actually pick a movie because
What?
I
A
can.
film? A moving picture? What
I
are
know.
those?
Shocker.
I watched like 70 plus movies this year, Chelsea, and I'm not done with 2022 yet. Be
That is
proud of me.
wild to me.
It's very
No,
wild to me, too.
Turner Classic Movies did one of their great Fathom events, and the movie of this month was To Kill a Mockingbird. And so I have
Oh,
officially seen one of my favorite movies in a theater. And
yeah.
gang, you don't realize how gorgeous films used to be until you see them on the big screen and you're like, wow. It makes you realize that things that are made for $200 million look like shit. Like The Avengers literally looks like a TV show compared to To Kill a Mockingbird. It
That's
just has
fair.
so much life, so much texture. It is so fun. And fun fact, I had been watching that movie since I was a wee toddler and grew up until I was probably 11 years old thinking that it was a movie for kids. Again,
Love it.
rewatch the movie now. Tell me it's not for kids.
I was gonna say, it's not for kids.
There are children, there are shenanigans.
I think because the child is the arguably the sort of the protagonist kind of the
She
story.
is.
Like she's the driver of the narrative. Like that's maybe why you were just like, oh,
It's
someone
literally
my age
kids
is,
in adventure and mischief, but
yeah,
also like this
but
very
also
powerful message.
a very
So
powerful
yeah,
film.
everybody go
Huh.
watch To Kill a Mockingbird. It's on Blu-ray.
Nice. And if you can't see it in a theater, go see it in a theater.
Yeah.
What have I've had to transition out of rewatching all of the ones that I tend to rewatch, which is television shows, because I'm like, I just can't. Like I finished my Schitt's Creek again, so I'm like, okay, I can't. And I always stop before series finales. So I rewatched a bunch of this show lately and stopped before the series finale. I hadn't rewatched a lot of The Good Place, honestly. It's just not on my heavy rotation. And so I was like, this
There's
is
still
also like
not
cool
a
background
lot
noise.
of it.
That's true. So that's why I kind of was like, wait, I feel like I'm getting to the end of the show. And I was like, the penultimate episode. And I was like, nope, we're not going to watch the finale because that made me cry. And I don't want to do that. So yeah, I that's one that I hadn't rewatched in a while, but honestly, it was fun to have on in the background or as I was reading or as I was cleaning and doing stuff. So that is what I have been rewatching, and now I'm
Love
gonna
it.
figure out what else I need to rewatch. So anyway, Chels, thank you for podcasting,
Thank
dusting
you
off your
for getting me
microphone.
out of hibernation.
That's where you've been all this time. You've just been
Yep,
hibernating.
I have.
That's fair.
It's true.
So look forward to hearing more of us. And thank you everyone so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Community Rewatch podcast. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts these days so you don't miss an episode. If you want to follow along with our content on social media, you can follow us at COMM Rewatch Pod on Twitter or at Community Rewatch on Instagram. Many, many thanks to Chelsea Eichels for putting together today's episode. We're so glad that you chose to go back to Greendale with us. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.